It was 1964. I was 13 years old, living in Detroit. And my mother, yay, Detroit. And my mother decides that it would be fun for her if I go to charm school. I do not want to go to charm school. But, you know, I was a goody-goody kid. I did everything my parents told me to do, so I went. Charm school was located in the Northland Mall. In the basement. In this room that was made out of cement block, no windows. And it was right next to the janitor's cleaning supply closet. So when I walked in, it felt like I was being disinfected. The teacher was everything you would expect. You know, blonde hair, every hair in place. She looked like a cross between Martha Stewart and the Ayatollah Khomeini. And she tells us to put a book on our head, walk across the room and back, and one at a time with everybody watching you. And then she criticizes you. You know, in my case, she says, can't you walk any taller? You know, I'm 5'2 now. I was like 4'6 then. You know, the answer to that is no, I cannot. So I don't want to go to the second class, but I don't think I have a choice, so I go. But something really big and interesting happened. Two girls skipped charm school and went shopping in the mall. I was like, whoa, I can't believe they're going to do that. You know, I was sure they were going to get in terrible trouble. I thought, you know, they're going from charm school to reform school. But instead, they go off to the mall. They're having a great time. They buy stuff. They hide it in their underwear. You know, their mom takes them home. They get away with it scot-free. Well, meanwhile, you know, I'm in charm school, and we're learning how to set the table. And I don't mean just, you know, knives and forks. I mean, like, this is a fish fork, this is a charger, you know, this is how to fold a napkin six different ways, like a swan. And I'm 13 years old. You know, I'm not exactly having a lot of formal dinner parties. So the next week, two other girls skip charm school and go to the mall. And they have a great time. You know, and I'm stuck in charm school, you know, learning how to write the perfect thank you note. So the next week comes, the third week, and I may not be charming, but I am smart, and I have detected a pattern. You know, they're going to charm school, they're skipping charm school, they're having a lot of fun, you know, and I'm stuck in the cement bunker. So I screw up every bit of courage I had, and I skip charm school with a friend of mine. To this day, I still feel the joy of that. It was that first, you know, heady sense of freedom. You know, like, I could do what I wanted to do instead of what other people were telling me to do. And, you know, I bought stupid things. I had a chocolate malted milkshake. It was, like, incredible. It was intoxicating. In fact, it was so intoxicating that I pretty much never went back to charm school. You know, I went with a different girl every time, skipped class, but I did go to the last class. And at the last class, I got two very bad pieces of information. One, there was going to be a graduation ceremony and our parents are invited. And two, you had to have attended 8 out of 10 classes in order to graduate. Now, I am not good at math, but I could calculate that I wasn't coming anywhere near 8. So, like, I don't know what to do. I'm thinking, you know, I'm praying for a miracle is really what I'm doing. You know, I'm thinking, like, maybe the teacher didn't notice I wasn't there, you know, or maybe somebody stole her attendance book, you know. So I go home and I don't tell my parents about this ceremony, but they find out about it from somebody else's parents or kids. And my mother's excited. She's like, this is great. We'll be there. And not only that, we're buying you a new dress. And they take me to Hudson's in the same mall as the charm school. And they buy me this white, itchy, uncomfortable dress. And now I'm in the dress at the charm school ceremony. My mother's on my left, my father's on my right. I have my ankles crossed and my knees together like they taught me in charm school so that nobody sees your girly parts. And the teacher's in the front. She's in a pink boucle suit and matching pillbox hat. And she starts calling out the names of the graduates in alphabetical order. Now, my maiden name was Burkhoff. It starts with a B. So she's in the front and she goes, Anderson, Appleby, Brown, Carlson. You know, at Carlson, it hits me. They're not going to be calling my name. There is no miracle that's going to save me. I am totally, royally fucked. And I have to sit there in between my parents, waiting for them to find out and kill me. About halfway through the alphabet, somewhere around elemental P, my mother leans over and whispers in my ear, maybe you've won some kind of special award. And they're saving your name for last. And now Zimmerman walks across the stage. And all my friends have gone up and gotten their diplomas and they're happy, you know, and the teacher thanks everybody for their hard work and the chairs scrape as people get up to leave. And we're just sitting there. And my mother says, she forgot to call your name. That's terrible. And I say, oh, it doesn't matter. You know, what really matters is everything that I've learned. She says, no, it's not okay. I'm going to go talk to the teacher. And she gets up. My dad and I are standing there, and she walks across the room to the Ayatollah. And the two of them are huddling and muttering and huddling and muttering, and then they turn and look at me. And my heart is pounding. And my mother starts this long walk back, and she says, it appears that in order to graduate, one must have attended 8 out of 10 classes. It also appears that you only attended 4. I personally drove you to 8. How do you explain this, young lady? And I'm thinking, that's a good question. So I say, I don't know. And she says, well, where were you? And I say, I don't know. And she says, well, Barbara, do you realize you have flunked charm school? And then from above me, I hear this heavenly sound. It's my father, and he's laughing. And my heart soars, because I'm going to have one parent. And my mother says, Stanley, it's not funny. Your daughter is a charm school flunky. And my father actually pig snorts. Like that. Only much, much louder, and in the middle of all of these polite people. So my mother starts to laugh, and I start to laugh, my dad's laughing, and my heart soars again, because I realize I've been very, very bad, and I'm going to live. And that pig snort really is a sort of form of forgiveness. And it gave me the courage, only a few years later, to skip high school and go to downtown Detroit, but this time not to go shopping. This time to go hear Robert F. Kennedy speak. It gave me the courage to march against the Vietnam War, to stand up for myself when I really needed to. My father's pig snort gave me the permission to begin to grow up